encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Glory to God. And of course, every hungry heart here tonight, ready to receive from the Lord, give Jesus the shout. We never get tired of shouting. It's not because we are excited. Yes, we are excited. But for us, shouting is a weapon. He said when they shouted, the walls of Jericho went down. When we are dancing, it's a weapon. Everything we do is a weapon. Somebody wants your wall to go down. Give Jesus the shout. That's why. That's how you take Jericho down. That's how you pull Jericho down. Glory! In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands toward heaven one more time and honor the Lord. Meanwhile, that's also a weapon. He said the lifting up of our hands is as the evening sacrifice. That's what brings fire down from heaven. Lift your hands and honor the Lord. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. This is the hour we magnify your name, precious Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
magnify your name. Lord, we ask again that tonight you open our understanding, bring us light, bring us access, transform us, empower us, and create a shift that strategically positions us to advance your kingdom. We give you praise, we give you glory, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. We'll take it gradual for tonight. Our time tonight is very short, and God's servant was spot on. We'll just share a few principles tonight, just to give perspective to our subject, and then tomorrow will be brutal. Yes, tomorrow will be brutal. Pardon me, we are of the younger generation. We are warriors. So that's how we operate. Tomorrow will be brutal. So prepare your heart for what God will do tomorrow. But tonight, I just want to share with us a few secrets. Not really secrets, but they have to be revealed by the Holy Ghost. The way spiritual things work is you can see it, but if it is not revealed, you will not know it. So a few things that the Holy Ghost will be helping us to understand tonight that will help shift us forward, move our lives, and bring us to a higher pedestal of experience and of impact. Hallelujah. So the theme of our conference is maximum impact. And so I want to share with us tonight and tomorrow some of the kingdom mysteries that makes for impact. There are over 7.8 billion people in the world, but you can count those making impact. That is suggestive of the fact that although we are all ordained for impact, but impact is not cheap. There are things you must know, there are things you must engage for your life to become impactful. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I will share the little God has shown me, and then I will trust that the Holy Ghost will deepen our understanding even as we journey on this path. But just as a way of introduction, I want us to know that it is God's desire that we make progress. It is God's desire that we move forward. This is Accelerate Conference. And so we are making impact in a positive direction. And we are making progressive impact. It's not an impact you have once in a while. It's not an impact you have some time ago. Your life should be a progressive stream of impact. Can somebody touch the keyboard for me? Just be touching it. Because some of the things I want to share are not in my note. So I need to be able to catch them. You have to help me. Praise God. So we have to make progressive impact. But for that to happen, there are scriptural provisions that must be met. Hallelujah. But it is God's will for us to make impact. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it again and again. Especially because of our context. We are in Africa. And there are many forces in Africa that are limiting our possibilities. Unconsciously, you assume, if you are in Africa, that you must get to a certain age before your life becomes impactful. It is just there in the atmosphere and in the minds of men. And so people are 30, they are 35, and they feel that life has not started. They are waiting for when they will be 50 to start living. When they get to 50, they discover their life is finished. It's a syndrome in Africa. So there are forces here. That's why you need to take this conference very seriously. Hallelujah. Africa is the place where the moment you begin to make impact, all eyes are on you. People want to pull you down. You begin to make enemies that you are not aware of. Both spirits, men, and systems. They just want you to go down. It's like a crab system. Because somebody cannot rise, another must not rise. And so the moment you start making progress, all hell breaks loose. This is where you are. And so you must be deliberate. You must be very passionate about making impact in your generation. Because of the context where you are, and because it is God's will for you to be impactful. In Psalm 84 verse 7, the Bible said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. And so if you have come to Zion, you've got to migrate from one level of strength to another level of strength. Can we celebrate Mommy Akachukwu for she's here with us tonight? It's good to have you, Mama. Hallelujah. So you have to go from strength to strength. Your story should not be, it happened 10 years ago. Your story should be, even now, God is doing something. It's from strength to strength. That's the calling of every believer. In fact, in Proverbs 4:18, it said, the path of the just man is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It's not enough for you to shine. You have to shine and shine brighter. That is God's plan for you. Deuteronomy 2 verse 3, God himself was telling the children of Israel, he said, you have encompassed this mountain for too long. If you are not careful, you stay in one spot and you make a niche of that place. And you would forget. Listen, even if you are doing well, it's not enough to do well. There is so much ground to cover. Joshua conquered 31 kingdoms and 31 kings. And God came to him and told him, you are old and stricken in years. He said, but look at the land. It's still vast. There are many kingdoms for you to conquer. Meanwhile, Joshua was thinking he had done so much for God. He was thinking he had achieved so much. And God came to him and said, you have not started. The destiny I have portioned for you, you are just beginning to scratch it. Because when God is talking to a man, he's talking to a generation. When God is talking to a man, he's creating a nation out of him. He called Abraham, he said, you are a nation. He didn't call him a man. And the Bible says, we are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Do you know what a city looks like? Enugu is not even a proper city. When you start judging cities at global standard. And God said, you are a city. And then you have one little encounter with God. 10,000 people, 20,000 people are following you. You have two lands, you have a house somewhere, and you say, we are doing well. Thank God for what he's doing, but you are not started, sir. Because if you go into the world, you'll be amazed. The children of darkness are already planning for the next 100 years. They are creating systems to colonize this world. They want to take over the economic sphere. They want to take over the health sector. They want to take over the academia. They are already preparing programs for the next 50 years. Meanwhile, we are here saying we are doing well because we are driving the car. It's so pathetic how limited the mindset and the mentality of many people are. And because you prayed and saw one vision, you say it is well. But do you know the strategies that are already being put in place? As I'm talking to you now, they are exploring AI. And currently, Elon Musk is investing heavily in it. And Elon Musk's vision is to create a micro AI system that will be implanted in the brain. When it's implanted in the brain, it can reverse paralysis. It can activate organs that are dead. Because it wants to energize the brain mechanically through AI. So he's trying to create a world where your miracle service will no longer be necessary. He's trying to create a world where your preaching will no longer be necessary. So anything you need, he can just put a chip on you and that's enough. So when you are talking Jesus, they say, well, what you are giving, he can. That's how they are thinking. They are thinking of how not just to surmount man's current problem, but to also arrest the future before you get there. As we are talking now, they are already creating a virtual world. People are buying lands in the virtual space. As we are talking now, they are not just talking moon. They are not just talking astral bodies around, you know, the planetary space. They are talking about a virtual world where people are now buying properties. And so they create a system where meetings, transactions, trades will be taking place, and you just come, you mount your gadget, and you enter your house in the virtual space. You make friends in the virtual space. You transact in the virtual space, and we are still here talking about how God is helping us to buy land. If we continue like this, we will be strangers in the next 30 years. You know the problem? You will fight it. You can't stop it. Most of the things we are enjoying today, when they turned it out of darkness, the church fought it. From television to internet to everything you know, today we are using it. Because if you don't seize the mountains, they will force you to live in it.
And so when we are talking about accelerating, we are looking at God bringing us to a pedestal where we dictate for our generation. We tell them the direction that they should go, and if there's anything they are doing, we can bring checks and balances through the authority we have in the spirit. And at the same time, we will not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So we can't stay at one spot. We have to move. We have to move. And I'm not saying we should stop preaching Jesus and go into AI. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying the church has come to a point where we should bring leadership to the world. So people should rise from the church through spiritual infrastructures and provisions and give direction to those in the economy, in the media, in the academia, and lead the world so that we can infuse godly values there. We can impute godly principles there. Because if you are not responsible for who designs the curriculum, they can begin to teach mathematics using central equipment. And they will use that curriculum for primary 2. Because they designed it. They created the system. And there's nothing you can do about it. If you don't want your child to learn mathematics, you will take your child home. But what happens if we are the ones who control the systems? So if they like it or not, if we want to give an example, we can use Abraham. We can use Elijah. If we want to give an example, we can talk about bilocation. We can talk about things that are scriptural so that we use it to teach them. But how can that happen if we are satisfied with what our fathers were doing in 1950? Today, if we want to charge an atmosphere, we go and excavate vents in Idahosa. The man has gone to be with the Lord. Thank God for his impact, but God is moving forward. God is moving forward. The late Archbishop doesn't know about AI. The late Archbishop does not know about internet warfare. He doesn't know the things we are contending with today. So while we thank God for what he has done, stand on that foundation, we must plunge forward. We must go ahead of our generation and bring direction. That's why conferences like this are important. Because if you cannot take over, you cannot make impact. At the end of the day, we will raise a consumer generation. Whatever they throw at us, we will have no choice but to collect it and use it. That's when we'll now go back and start having vigils and try to correct the mindset that they have created by taking over the institutions. Are you following? But you see, for you to make this kind of unprecedented impact and stay ahead of your generation, there are scriptural and spiritual provisions you must take advantage of. And we use biblical provisions because we are of a kingdom. These are our resources. Others can use yoga meditation to connect with demons, to give them a spiritual. But we have a set code that God has given to us, and as we master it, our propensities will be awoken to tap into wisdom, powers, and graces that will put us in charge in giving direction to our generation. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so I'm going to be dealing with at least 3 of them. There are about 7 of them, but I will pick out 3 because of our limited time. Tonight, I will talk about spiritual laws as a basis for making impact and gaining speed. Tomorrow, I will talk about divine providences as a basis for impact and speed. And if I have more time, I will talk a little about divine ordinations. All of these things are weapons and tools for making impact. If you understand laws and principles and you apply them, your life will move forward. I came to Enugu in 45 minutes. That's impossible. Except as I connected to a law that is superior to trekking. I connected to the law of aerodynamics. And because I connected to the law of aerodynamics using an airplane, I boycotted the limitation and I got here in 45 minutes. If somebody is trekking, by now maybe he will still be, he would have approached Kefi. By the time I return to Abuja, it will be close to Nnewi, depending on the route he's taking. Conference would have been over. So the kind of law you tap into also gives you an advantage. So we'll look at spiritual laws as a basis for impact and acceleration. Tomorrow we'll look at divine providences, because there are many things God gives us as an edge because we are the children of light. Those ones are not for the world. Laws are universal. The world can tap into it. But spiritual providences are only for the children of light. The anointing is not for the world. It's for those in the kingdom. Favor is for those in the kingdom. Divine wisdom is for those in the kingdom. You can make impact through favor that you can never make by obeying principles. Because there are certain kinds of favor when they come upon your life, the first thing they do is to break laws. So while laws are important, they are superior provisions. So the essence is to migrate in the course of this conference. We'll begin with the lowest, which is laws. But tomorrow we'll enter divine providences. And when we have time, then we'll enter ordinations. Because in the case of ordination, it was written before the foundations of the world. So whatever happens in the world, they can't stop it. If you were born a prophet, it was ordained before time itself began. And so when you enter into time, everything in time will have to align for you to fulfill that ordination. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before thou camest forth, I ordained you to be a prophet. And he told him to go, to uproot. The guy had the power to uproot kingdoms even before he was born. And so when he grew up, he was just maturing into ordination. And when that time comes, whatever the devil wants to do, he can't stop it. Because ordinations rages from eternity past into eternity future. Are we together? So we'll have a journey. When I finish, then God's servant will come with superior mysteries. My own is to prepare the ground. So laws empower us for impact and they confer speed to our operations. And so tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you 6 laws that if understood and applied, will shift your life to unprecedented heights and realms that will marvel you and you will not be able to explain it. Yet, you can't deny it. You know, many people assume that impact is a function of age. You are joking. You will be shocked that by the time you are 90, you will start seeing the things you should have done that you didn't do. You will be so amazed. You will discover that this world was framed and is hanging on laws. And only those who tap into the frequency of laws will maximize it. Somebody wrote my date of birth, I put online. And I went somewhere, they were reading it. I said, is that my age? Because when they saw my life, they assumed that I should be this old. I said, no, that's not my date of birth. If you want to know my age, I will tell you. But that one, maybe it's for my uncle. It's not a function of age, sir. If you tap into those laws, they will change your story. And when they change your story, you begin to change the stories of others. Are you ready tonight? I give you some laws very quickly that makes for impact and for acceleration. The first is the law of light or the law of understanding. The law of understanding. Listen to me, please. Nobody has the right to affect this realm except as they have tapped into a knowledge and an understanding. Everything you see happening on earth is a crystallization of mysteries, is a crystallization of a kind of understanding. Manifestations actually come to give texture to spiritual understanding. Without an understanding in a particular sphere of operation, you have no authority. In fact, your authority is predicated on your understanding. Any area you lack understanding, you are a slave. And the moment you gain light, you become a commander. This one is not given, it's taken. There are many things you expect to receive, but when you have understanding, you take. You don't expect to receive. It naturally confers power over you. Because the way the system is designed is that light rules over darkness. And so anyone who is in possession of light and understanding becomes a ruler in the realms of darkness. And darkness is the force that subjugates humanity. In John chapter 1 from verse 1, he spoke about Christ and he told us the reason why he had so much authority on earth that no power could stop him. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, the same was with him in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he said, in him was life. And he said, that life was actually the source of light. So he produced light from within himself. It is by reason of that light that he had authority to create. And you won't understand this until you trace it back to Proverbs. And so Proverbs, you will find wisdom that is also a reflection of a light speaking. And he said, I was with him before the deep was created. He said, it was by me that all things were created. So what gave him the power to be creator is the quality of light he carries. And that's why when God wants a man to step into the realms of invention, what he does is that he gives him light. He gives him understanding. He said, I have put my spirit upon Bezalel and Oholiab to create witty invention. So when a man gains light, he becomes an inventor. When a man gains light, he becomes a co-creator with God. And the moment you start inventing and creating, you cannot be ignored in your generation. Because everything that comes out of you becomes the solution to human affliction. Because light is the mother of inventions. And anyone who is an inventor is a ruler in his generation. You may sit here and think, it will take 30 years for me to move from one level to another. Catch light and see the speed that will come to your life. You will be shocked that the people who claim they are busy are not busy. They are only working with those who matter. The moment you catch light, the busiest man will look for you. He will wait for you. He will sit with you. And he will do anything you want him to do. Because light confers dominion. In Job 29 verse 4, he said, as I was in the days of my youth, not when I was old, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. By light I walk through darkness. So he gained dominion to rule over darkness. And the point came, Job said, he plunged his legs in oil. And he said, the rock poured out rivers unto him. He was living in abundance. He was living in plenty. He became a ruler. Not because he did anything. He just caught light. The moment a man catches light, he becomes a dominion automatically wherever he finds himself. And speed becomes natural to him. Your speed is a function of the brightness of your light. Did you not read what the Bible said in Isaiah 60 from verse 1? It says, arise, shine. It says, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And he made a striking statement. He didn't say your brothers. Your brothers can come to you because of blood. Your brothers can support you because of family bond. But he said, Gentiles. People that have no connection with you. They don't even believe what you believe. They don't care your existence. In fact, if they have the opportunity, they will kill you. He said, but Gentiles shall come to thy light. And you think that is where the beauty is. And he said, no, not only Gentiles. Why others are looking for kings, he said, they are those kings look for. He said, kings come to the brightness of your rising. And so there are many people today that kings look for. Because when they speak, they can shape the kingdom. When they speak, they can change the stories of men. The quality of life they carry is so much that they cannot be ignored. Even in this dark world, have you not seen that men who have a light that comes from darkness are able to create one or two things, and anywhere they go to, his presidents that receive them. Any nation, not because they are handsome. Meanwhile, this is a generation where people are spending time to look handsome. There's nothing wrong with looking handsome. But if there's no light in you, if you like, let all the hair on your eyelashes be trimmed off. If you like, let your muscle be as big and your shirt is almost torn. Nobody will care about you. The best you will get from there is medical value, that your health will improve. But you see, you can't impact your generation like that. And so everybody must search for light. Everybody must pursue light, because in it is the power for dominion, and in it is the key for acceleration. But unfortunately, not many have light. Very few have access to light. Light can activate your propensities. There are things in you that you are not aware of. You don't know that the answer to the crisis of health is in you, but it will be dormant. You don't know that currently in you is a wisdom that can shape a territory until light comes. The moment light comes, it shines on you and it awakens potentials that you never knew existed. And so light is a key for dominion. The problem is many are not pressing into it. Listen, if you have light, even amongst your enemies, they will celebrate you. People don't celebrate you because they love you. Only naive people think so. It is the light you carry they celebrate. When you come to a place and they are shouting, don't make the mistake of thinking they love your appearance. It's what you carry they are celebrating. The day that light goes down, you will come and say, my name is Michael. They will say, and so what? You see, I'm the one who came here yesterday. Yes, so what do you want me to do about it? But when light is shining, if they hear that you are around, they want to hug you. They want to serve you. They want to. Even them don't know what is going on because you carry something. Did you not read about Daniel? Daniel was in Babylon. They were slaves. They were eunuchs. When they came to Babylon, they gathered all of them together and circumcised them to serve in the king's palace as servants. But suddenly, they discovered there was something about this man. They carried a light that made them different from mortals. In fact, when the hidden queen wanted to give Daniel's credentials, he said, in him is the spirit of the holy gods. He said, light and understanding is in this man, and he has the ability to explain hard sentences. All of a sudden, a man that was castrated to be a servant. The Bible said the king thought to make him the president of all the realms. What moved him from a servant to become the president of the realm? What moved him from a servant to becoming a prince is the light that he carried. He was sold out as a slave. In slavery, he was a servant and he was a castrated servant. But when the light in him began to beam, even the king could not ignore him. And Bible history tells us that Daniel was relevant in Babylon for 65 years. They couldn't deny the man's impact. He was a lord in the land of captivity. He could walk to the king and give his counsel, and the king would hear. How about Joseph that was in prison? A man that was accused and called a rapist. He was actually thrown into the dungeon. There was no hope there. He was supposed to rot there forever. But while he was yet in the dungeon, they started seeing light. They started seeing something beam out of him that nobody had. And all of a sudden, that light took him out of there. That light moved him from there to the king's palace. And the Bible said, when he was done talking to the king said, there is no one in your class. He said, according to your word, let the nation be ruled. In fact, when the psalmist was giving us more details, in Psalm 105, verse 17, he said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, whom they sold for a servant. He said his feet was bound with fetters until the time that his word came. The word came after the light shined. And he said the king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his household. He gave him power to teach his senators wisdom and to bind his princes at his pleasure. How can a prisoner suddenly have authority to put chains in the hand of princes? Princes that are of the nobles. A prisoner can determine if a prince will go to jail. What impacted that level of authority? There was a light. When he gave the king counsel, he said there was no one in your class. All of a sudden, they sent for the daughters of the high priest. They come, marry the choicest virgins in this land. They gave him the ring of the king, and he entered the chariot immediately. A man that was in prison can enter a chariot and begin to rule. And it was from that realm of authority that he saved the world. A point came, even the children of God who didn't have light, they had to come to Egypt. Because you can be a child of light, but you are not walking by light. And if Joseph didn't catch light, the covenant would have been at stake. They had to look for. See, if you have light, even if you are in the hidden kingdom, they will look for you there. They will find you. They had to leave the land of promise and go and look for the carrier of light in Egypt and met him there. And he preserved them for a season because of what he carried. Light is a key for dominion and for acceleration. But too many persons have no light. Four ways of contacting the light of God that awakens your potential and your ordination. Number one is by contact with the Word of God. The moment you begin to interact with the Word of God does not make you a theologian. The Word of God illuminates you.
In Psalm 119, verse 130, it says, "Thy word is a light unto my path." The moment the word comes, the entrance of thy word, he said, it giveth light and it giveth understanding to the sinful. The moment light, the word of God begins to enter you, you will discover wisdom begins to activate. You will discover counsel will begin to activate. Direction will begin to come. Strategies will begin to come. You are wondering, how did I know this? You didn't know it because you studied. Studying is important, but this one is a whisper from another dispensation. The moment the word enters you, you will know that the utterances of the word, they are echoes from eternity. The word is older than time. Time itself was created by the word. And so whatever darkness it is men are in, the moment the word enters your spirit, it awakens you to a possibility that existed before the complex manipulation that took place here began to happen. And then you can delve into the matter, navigate through it, and bring a solution that the greatest thinkers cannot provide. Why do you think the devil is fighting our generation from sitting on the word? Because he knows that therein lies the key to light. You can watch a movie for 20 hours. You can gist with a friend for 3 days. You can make your hair for 1 week. But when you sit with the scripture, you start yawning. Some people carry one chapter of the Bible. They are on verse 2. They sleep off. You now ask, how many seconds does it take to read one verse? They don't even have enough passion for the word to stay awake for 5 minutes with the word of God. And so, reading the Bible becomes a therapy for sleeping. When they want to sleep, they are ready. They now carry Bible. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And the word into another word. And then, after 20 minutes, they wake up. They are still on verse 1. They will read verse 1 for one night. And then every manipulation that comes against their life, they are stranded. Marriage is not coming, they are stranded. Sickness, they are stranded. And they are wondering, poverty, they are stranded. Meanwhile, the answer is not in heaven, it's in them. He said, he has given us. He didn't say he will give us. He has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. But it's through the knowledge. So as they don't accept that knowledge, they can't find what is on their inside. The Bible said, this is the hope. This is the mystery of the age. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means the secret of glory, the potential of glory, the propensity of glory is already on the inside of the man who died of cancer yesterday. It's already on the inside of the man who is currently poor. It's already on the inside of the brother who is walking frustrated. But the problem is, only the word can go deep to excavate it. He said the word of God is a double-edged sword. It divided asunder between spirit and soul, between bone and marrow. But they have not allowed the word to enter into them and create a surgery. There is a surgery that the word will do to you. Because lying in you now is a wisdom the world have not seen. Lying in you now is a power the world have not seen. Lying in you now is an invention the world is yet to see. But you see, the heart of man is deep. It's deep. It's too deep for human understanding to trace it. He has put eternity in their heart. Eternity. Your heart can accommodate eternity. How can you use your brain to search eternity? To find out what will change your destiny. It will take you a million lifetimes to do it. But the moment the word comes, there is precision. The moment it comes, is precision. See what 1 Corinthians 2 says. There is precision. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. See what it says. Because there is a spirit component to the word. When it enters you, it goes deep. It says, eyes. What eyes have not seen? What ears have not heard? What has not entered the heart of man? Thinkers, what they can't fathom. He said, they are the things God has prepared for them that love him. There is everybody sitting here is a wonder sitting down. But you see, you need a tool to trace into you and bring it out. It's the word. You don't read the word to preach it. You don't read the word to quote it. You don't read the word to be a Bible scholar. You read the word to become. He said, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord,
We are metamorphosed. We are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. There is a version of you that if God show you on this screen now, you will say, no, I'm not the one. You won't believe it. But if you start dealing with light, it takes you there. If you hate the world, then you hate your transformation. If you hate the world, then you hate your answer. If you hate the world, you hate your impact. Because therein is the key for your illumination. The second way to access light is through consecration. 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 Listen, this is kingdom order. I know there is a place of reading in Harvard. That's another type of light. I know there's a place, and we encourage it. I'm also a student. But I'm teaching you things that God has made available to us that gives us a strategic advantage. If you want light to dwell on you constantly, you must be consecrated to God. This generation that is corrupt and compromised by everything will remain blind. Because one of the greatest ministry of the devil is to blind men. Is to blind men. When the devil makes you carnal, even if it is before you, you can't see it. In 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 14, he said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world, but we have received the spirit that is of God, that we may freely know the things that are given to us by God. So the spirit that is of this world stops you from knowing. And then he went to verse 14 and he shows us what the spirit of this world does. He said, the natural man, the man who is reduced to judge and to operate from his senses, he said, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So everything God put in you, you can't take it. He said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so a man who wants to walk perpetually in light must learn to consecrate himself. If you don't consecrate yourself, you cannot know. No matter how you read. If you like, read everything that you need to read. If you are into fornication, you are into lying, you are into manipulation, you can't see, you are blind. Because you have submitted your allegiance to a prince that darkens. In Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 18, it says, do not walk like the Gentiles walk. In the futility of their minds, it says they've had their understanding darkened. So they cannot perceive the things that God has made available for his children. Every time you compromise and give yourself to what the world is doing, you darken your spirit. You darken your spirit. And that's why Peter's advising youth. He said, flee from youthful lust. He said, it wages war against your soul. You think you had 5 minutes pleasure. You think you did something nobody is seeing. You have put a veil on your soul. And so when God is giving inspiration for leadership, when God is giving inspiration for business, when God is giving inspiration for kingdom service, you will be amazed that you can't have it. People are hearing things, they are shouting. People are weeping, having encounters, and you are still wondering, are those things true? You can't see it because they are spiritually discerned. Look at Daniel. Before Daniel said, I understood by books, in Daniel chapter 9 verse 2, there is a Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. Verse 18 to 20, the Bible said, Daniel and his friends refused to be defied by the portion of the king's meat. They knew that the key to light was purity and consecration. So they refused to be defied. This is a generation where if a slang comes out from the pit of hell, every Christian is saying it. The other day I was hearing somebody was talking and they said, he choked. I said, what is that? They say, that's what they are saying now. What does it mean? A choke. So when you hear something that is hard or difficult, they say, a choke. Even if they say, I don't die, you hear Christians, I don't die. And they don't know why they are dying. Picking things from the gutters. And then you ask them, the first thing they say, is it a sin? They say, to be carnally minded is death. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. These are laws. You break them, you break yourself. You break your destiny. Nothing can change it. I can prophesy over you every day of the year unless you go to another spirit, if you violate this law, God won't violate it. Your life will remain on one spot for a long time. The law of light is what you see that determines who you become. But what you see is at the mercy of your purity. What you see is at the mercy of your consecration. What you see is at the mercy of your sanctity. The devil knows this secret. That's why he corrupts a generation. A child is at the age of 15. That child has already committed abortion. And then you are hoping that prophecy has captured it, that she will change her world. The devil is just looking at you and laughing. He said, this one, even if an angel is shouting in her ear, she can't hear again. He has darkened her understanding. Unless by mercy God gives an encounter. Somebody has mastered bribery from the age of 17. Mastered it. He can write a project on bribe and corruption. And is hoping that God will shine on him. If you like, shout amen. Collect the handkerchief for 30 prophets. You will go nowhere. It's a law. Nothing breaks it. It's a law that your light is a function of your purity. What you can see is a function of your purity. Do you know the corruption that is in Babylon? Babylon itself is a spirit of corruption, a spirit of mixture, a spirit that defies. But these men stood their ground. And when the king, the Bible said, asked them from verse 18, they say every question. The king was not asking them about God of heaven. So when we are talking life, we are not just saying you are a good preacher. That's not what we are talking. We are talking about having an understanding that is superior in essence that can address the crisis of society. Every question. The king is not a preacher. So the king was not asking them about Bible verses. It was not a theological question. They were questions that border on existential realities. And he said every question the king asked them. These guys were not competing with ordinary men. They were competing with witches, wizards, astrologers who had other forms of power. It's not this one that is in UNN that is that question in physics you are failing. Question from human realm. We are talking, you are in a class with witches and wizards. And he said every question the king asked them, he said they were 10 times better than their peers. Every time you purify yourself, you activate your mind. And your mind begins to catch light, catch inspiration. Those lights and inspiration are the things that makes you a ruler in your generation. Number three, how do you access light? Through service. There are many things you can't read in the book. So what God will do is that he will lead you to somebody else who has it. So that through that person's light, you too will have light. It's the principle of gleaning. There are many things God wants you to do. He will focus your attention on somebody else who is doing it. And as you are looking at the person, God now uses that person's life to tell you the secrets of that journey. Both the places he excelled and the places he failed. You know, many people who are sent to serve, they get offended at those they are serving because they say, I thought it was this, I thought it was that. Even his failure is part of the syllabus. God is showing you what you will not do. And then God will show you his end so that you will know if you repeat it, that's how you will end. So the failure of those you are serving is also a blessing to you. You can never, in Philippians chapter 4 verse 9, Paul was teaching, and here's what Paul said to Timothy. I know you have read books. He said, but this thing is beyond books. He said, those things which you have both learned, received, heard, and seen in me, he said, do. And said, the God of peace shall be with you. There are certain things you see. That's why when a man wants to make impact, by all means he must serve. God will insist that he serves. Because there is a lot of learning to do there. And if you can't serve, who will serve you? If you can't follow, who will you lead? So you find an arrogant generation. Everybody wants to start overnight. And they are talking things. Before you say, Jack, they are quoting 1,000 scriptures. You will quote that scripture for 30 years. You will now discover that there are forces in this realm beyond quoting of scripture. And I know these kinds of things should not be new for those of you in the East. Because this is an entrepreneurship region. So you know the principles of service. Service that brings empowerment. Service that brings promotion. If you serve earthly masters and they are able to promote you, Is it God's agenda you will serve and you will not be promoted? And you know God is not like some masters, that you are a good boy until you approach the 50th year. Because in the 7th year they will settle you. So they have to start accusing you from the 50th year, so that in the 7th year there will be a problem with your son. God does not operate like that. And so when you are studying, what service will do is that it will open you to secret knowledge. Things that are not said in the public, things that are not written in books, you have the right to see them. And God will use them to activate you, impart you, and empower you with a light that sometimes you can't even teach, but you will manifest. Because there are many things in your life you cannot have cognitive words to explain, but they will be happening. The other day I was asking Mama, I said, how do you buy these mountains and build these structures with so much ease? And she was laboring to explain it to me. A point came, she said, come over. Because if I have to give you, you either see it or I pat it. Because not everything can be taught cognitively. Certain things must be seen or they must be imparted. And so service brings you the opportunity to see and to be imparted. And so a superior form of light will come to you when you start serving. And finally, the fourth way to access light is by prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, Paul was speaking to the church in Ephesus. And he showed them the key to light. He said he prayed for them that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto them the spirit. It is in this scripture that Paul showed us the four major dimensions you enter to hit the zenith of light. He said the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. If you read this in English, you will not appreciate it. There are four basic classes that you enter in light. Number one is wisdom. And wisdom is actually availability of knowledge. Because that word there is Sophia. It is to become aware of knowledge. As you are sitting here now, you are aware of Apple phones, iPhones. You are aware of Android phones. But you don't know anything about their operation. You just know about it. In fact, you can operate it because you bought one. But you see, the man who designed the phone, if he carries it, what he knows about the phone, you discover you don't even know up to 10%. Because what you know about the phone is what the screen projects. The real phone is at the back. So wisdom is just to make basic knowledge available to you. But there is another level. He now said revelation, apocalypse. That's the opening up. As this hall is now, you can look at it from outside and appreciate it. But you don't know what inside looks like. You have not known the hall. When the door of this hall opens, when you see this hall, that's Sophia. When the door opens, that's revelation, apocalypse, the unveiling of truth, so that you can access it. Now, when you enter the hall and there's no light, this chair that is making you comfortable will be the reason why you break your knee. So that the door opens does not mean you can utilize the provision. So Paul said there's another level. After apocalypse, you now have epignosis, where you come into experience, you can touch them. And Paul said there is yet another level. He said that the eyes of your understanding may be furnished with light. It's fortizo. That's when light is on. So you can know where the microphone is. You can know where the chair is. So a man who does not pray, at best, may have awareness of things. But you don't make impact by awareness. You make impact by gaining access, by handling, and by applying. And so he said, what will take you deep enough in light, not just to be aware, not just to have access, not just to handle, but to apply? He said, it's prayer. And because they've not awoken to prayer, he said, for now I am praying for you. But a point came where he began to teach them to pray. Because when you now start praying, you will discover things will start being activated in you. Ask those who make impact, both in the kingdom and outside the kingdom. They know that they must contact a spirit for something to shift. Those who are in the world, you'll find them doing crazy exercise. They call it, they are doing yoga, meditation. They tell you it helps them to rest. It's a lie. That's where they gain their revelation from. That's where they gain their inspiration from. They know that spirit must help you for you to make impact. And so they go and learn different things. There are some billionaires today who are, they pay Chinese monks to come and do rituals in their houses and teach them Tai Chi. The flow of energy. And they are doing those things and it's helping them to connect to superior realms. When they finish, spirits download things. They come back and invent something. They tell you they studied in Harvard. Have what? Everything you are seeing on earth was crystallized from the spirit realm. Make no mistakes about it. But you will not do Tai Chi. You will not do New Age. You will not do astral meditation. What you will do is to close the door and enter your altar. Kapakota parakata. Zakapa. As you are praying, after a while, you will notice that you will break out of this realm. You know, most people don't know the technology. That's why when they start praying, they start feeling tired, they stop. No! That prayer is beginning to hit on your flesh. It's hitting on the things that have kept you on earth. Because, let me tell you, the moment man fell, time trapped him. Man is a slave of time. We were not created to live by time. We were created as creatures of eternity. Adam was appearing in heaven. That's why when Adam fell, God came. He said, Adam, where are you? He was not asking where you are. God is omniscient. The question God was asking is, you are no longer appearing in the galaxies. Where princes stand, we can't find you. Why have you left your throne? So man became trapped. If not for the fall, Adam would have been alive till today. Because he was superior to time, but he fell into time. And so now, you have to devise a technology that makes you break out of time. And the technology available is prayer. When you start praying, you will notice. That's why some of you watch movies for 10 hours, but you can't pray for 10 minutes. You know what? When you are watching movies, you are in the habitat of your flesh. Now you want to enter the habitat of your spirit. There's a transport requirement. You need escape velocity. And so when you start praying, Kakopakata, Ragabata, Belakatoso, Barakate, you will notice that the thought of house rent will come, the thought of fear will come, the thought of that enemy. Don't stop there. You are traveling. Marakua, Tekaparato, Barakata, Baragat. After a while, you will notice you are light. You will no longer think of time. You have ascended. You have become like a mist, like smoke. You begin to enter the places of Zion. Aya! That's when light will start coming. And suddenly, God will show you the next 30 years of your life. You will know it as if it's in a moment. Some of the things you catch there, if you come back and you want to write, you will write for 4 hours. Because you went to a place that is regulated by superior laws. You caught a light. Bam! It was in a second. You now quickly started writing. You write 4 books out of that little thing you caught. The formula you got from there, you apply it for 30 years of your life. And somebody looks at you and says, hey, some people get luck. There is nothing like luck on it. When you see people manifest, don't be quick to make assumptions. Find out where they have gone to. Our manifestation is a product of our journeys. If you go there, you will come back with something. And when you come back with something, it becomes your authority in your generation. And anything anybody wants to do, it can't bring you down. Because where you brought it from is more ancient than the earth. That's why when you find the man that God empowers, do anything you want to do, it's for his own good. Fight him, he will keep rising. Accuse him, he will rise. Attack him, he will rise. Because he has gone to a place older than time. So nothing you do in time can stop him. Prayer, you think it's religion? No, it's a vehicle. A vehicle that takes you to places. When you go there, you catch it. And you know how the thing works? When you have touched it, it will now start appearing in your realm. Elijah knew the secret. He was there praying. 7 times, he said, go and check. I'm touching something in the spirit. Because I heard the sound of an abundance of rain. I can touch the reality. Why has it not appeared here? Because when you touch it, it must appear. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Go and check. Alaka koka. Izo savaka. He said, I've not seen anything. He continued. It must appear here. A point came at the 7th time. He said, I saw something that looked like a beast. He said, that's enough. What I heard there is what will happen. I just needed the gate to open. And quickly he told the king, better hurry home. Better hurry home. Better hurry home. The king thought it was a joke. You know why he was advising the king? Because when the reality comes here, you become a god. He was telling the king to go home. The question you ask is, how about you? Me, I have gone. You are the one who is still here. And as if it was a joke, he said, the hand of God was upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab unto Jezreel. The king that left, he overtook him. He overtook it. Acceleration is a product of light. But there is a light you get by prayer. Let them go ahead. The man can be in the business for 7 years. Thank God for him. I'm coming. He can be in the ministry for 15 years. Thank God for him. I'm coming. He can be in the army for 20 years. Thank God. I am coming. God is programming the calendar. Do you know how this realm works? You need to catch light. Hope you know that these new service chiefs that were appointed, some of their seniors who have not attained that rank were retired. It is a timing thing. It's a timing. Some of their seniors who were lieutenant generals were retired. They were younger, but they were according to the calendar. So a major general in the next 2 weeks, the president will come and shift him from major general to general. He doesn't need to pass through the 5 years course anymore. Because now something has happened. The calendar has shifted. And when the calendar shifts, what should have taken 10 years of courses, of training, of examination, they will just change it. So they will give them official commissioning. The president himself will have to change their rank because of the season. When you catch light, you change your season. When you catch light, you alter your possibilities. And so what somebody else did in 10 years, in 2 weeks you appear. They may be offended and say, why are you here? You say, light brought me here. How did you come? I came by light. He said, by light I walk through darkness. By light I walk through darkness. I dip my feet in oil. The rocks poured out waters unto me. By light I came. Some people will look at you and say, look at this boy. Look at this girl. She's ambitious. No, it's not ambitious. It's speed. It's speed. Even if I don't want to, I can't stop. You know, when that light comes, it moves you. The anointing moves a man. The Bible said the Spirit of God began to move something. Move. It moves you. When you are in one location, you are moving. You try to stop, you can't stop. There is a force beyond you that has mantled you. I prophesy over someone. The light you need for acceleration, it has come to you now. The law of understanding. What is that law? You must know for you to be in charge. Without understanding, you can never rule. And so instead of looking for position, look for light. When you catch light, light will give you the position. Instead of influence, look for light. When you catch light, the light will give you influence. Don't lobby for things. Journey in light. Journey there. When you catch it, your story will change on it. Earth was designed to respond to the readings of light. That's how it works. Please sit down. Many know nothing. That's why they can't receive their inheritance. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, it said the secret things belong to God. He said, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. When you catch it, you are gone. They may hate you, you are gone. They celebrate you, you are gone. What they do no longer matter. What is left now is for you to start impacting your generation. Because when you catch light, you can't hide it. You know what the Bible says? It says, Gentiles will come to you. Kings will come to the brightness of your rising. The moment you catch light, impact becomes the byproduct. You don't lobby for it. You don't fight for it. You impact. It's natural to you. And you don't impact few people. You will impact people across every order, every sphere, every demographic. Because light has no regard for natural things. Kings will come. Beggars will come. Every kind of person. You will keep changing and upgrading them because of the light you have got. Somebody will catch light in the course of this conference. And the impact will show. The second law is the law of diligence. We are out of time. These things are a burden. I thought I would keep calm so that I can save some things. But it's a burden. Because sometimes when you look around and you see Christians, you are wondering. We are the one who profess the biggest of things. We say our God is biggest, but our lives are not showing it. And then you are wondering. Sometimes you almost look as if God will be put in a bad light. Because these things are lacking. Listen, any sphere God takes you to, make sure you catch a light for that sphere. If you are in business, have a light. If you are in ministry, have a light. If you are in the academics, have a light. That light is the key to your dominion. The second is the law of diligence. I will just call them and then deal with one more because of our time. He says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings and not mere men. There is something diligence does. It moves you to high places and it gives you a place there. Many persons are hoping to be impactful, and because they have prayed, they have done some prophesying, they think it finishes there. And so God wants to test them, and God gives them a small assignment. They can't do it well. Tell somebody, please wash this handkerchief. It doesn't take 10 minutes to wash. He will wash this handkerchief. When you see it, it will be more dirty after being washed than it was before it was washed. Now, that is the person who is saying they will change the economy of Nigeria. Do you know how many billion digits you have to deal with in handling the economy? Tell the person, lock this door every day this week. The person in charge of church is not around. You will not be sleeping. The Holy Ghost will have to wake you up by 1 a.m. to call that person. And you will call. Is the church locked? He will say yes. If you don't hear God where to come back, you will come the next day and discover that the door is open. And then he will kneel down and start apologizing. And say, please, I'm sorry. The question is, you will be forgiven, but you will not go far. Because God will not commit anything to your hand. God does not have problem forgiving people. God will always forgive when you ask. But you see, kingdom is not for everybody. It's for those who can handle it. He said, do not give holy things to swine. They will trample it. They will destroy it because they have no value for it. Somebody is in school reading sociology. He's reading sociology and result comes out. The best grade he has, which is 2, is D. The rest is F. The whole lecture note for the semester is 10 pages. The whole lecture note is 10 pages. 10. And then he's doing 6 courses. So the whole lecture notes put together is 60 pages. He has 4 months to study. But he cannot make 1 B in sociology. And then you ask him, he say, the world is waiting for us. We are the overcomers. Doesn't this surprise you that those who do the hardest things are always better than those who do the simplest things? You'll find somebody else studying medicine. Only his anatomy textbook is more than all the lecture notes the sociology student has used in the university. That's anatomy for 300 level. Only the textbook for one course in 300 level is more than all the lecture notes that the sociology student has done. But the sociology guy is saying, school is not easy. He will now, because there's nobody to talk to, he will now go to the village where nobody has gone to the university before. I say, have you seen the four walls of the university? Ah! When you get there, we read in the night. You read, you. It looks funny, but that's why we are where we are. Somebody said Christians remove their minds and throw away. Very simple things. And God is just watching. Is this the person telling me to give him South Africa? Is this the person telling me to give him Canada? Is this the person telling me to give him the UK? Do you know how many souls are there? Do you know how many destinies are there? You can never appear before kings until you are diligent. There is a level you can never get to until you are diligent. What is diligence? Diligence is hard work and smart work put together. There is a part of it that will task your abilities, task your energy, put you under pressure. You must learn how to survive pressure. Many people want greatness, but they don't know greatness are for those who bear pressure. If you break under pressure, you can never make impact. And so you must learn how to manage pressure by working hard. And then for you to also lead, you must be smarter. So you don't just work hard, you work smartly. That means you are working with strategies. You are working, thinking the best ways to execute it. So that when time comes, the law of justice will not be bent for you to be chosen. You think God will put you in charge of the airline so that every 1 month, 3 planes crash. And then prophets and kings will die because you are in charge of the airline. God will manage you in poverty. With the prophecies until a child in your lineage arises that qualifies to receive that prophecy. Meanwhile, you are the one working with time. He's called Ancient of Days. What he told you can be very vital for your great-grandchildren. And he will wait for the one who will match it. And he will put it on him. And as far as he's concerned, he's talking to David. Because everybody in your bloodline is David. It is the David that qualifies that will enter the prophecy. So you will pass, another will pass, another will pass. Maybe it's the 8th generation, he will find one. All the prayers you people are praying, God will gather it. He said the prayers of the saints, they are sent to heaven as orders. They are taught in golden fire. When the time comes and somebody on earth qualifies, he will now remember the prayer. He will pour down the answer. That's why you find somebody else who is just diligent, walking. He doesn't know what prophecies were spoken, but he's going home. And then an angel appears to him and begins to tell him, I have raised you as a prophet to the nations. And he's wondering, what did I do? You didn't do anything. People prayed for 3 generations, but you are the one who qualified. For you to be impactful, please, the little things God commits to your hand, take them serious. Take them serious. Because God is watching to see the sensitive things you can handle. And so those things will fast-track the manifestation of your prophecy. Diligence. Number 3, faithfulness. Faithfulness is a bit different from diligence. Why diligence has to do with ability to withstand pressure, working hard and working smartly. Faithfulness is more about values, ethics and character. God is seeing, are you dependable, are you loyal? Somebody can be competent and have the energy to do the work, but his heart is evil. So if you give him something, he can easily betray. So he has the requisite, credentials in the physical, but in the heart, those credentials are not there. And so God sees that this guy is not reliable. You see him laboring somewhere. You think he's part of the team. It's a lie. He's an Absalom. He's working apart from the team. He's just using the labor of everybody to stand out. So that the moment he gains the ventilation, he will escape. And so God sees that person and says, no, this person can't be trusted. And because you can't be trusted, God will look for a way to keep you relevant. But you cannot rule your generation. Because when you become, your heart will rub off on everybody that follows you. And so God will not take the risk of putting you in charge in order to corrupt a generation. So he will help you to be relevant, at least to fulfill your life and destiny. But you cannot handle certain things in the kingdom. Because if you do, when you speak, when you direct, when you lead, you will create a generation after your rebellion, after your corrupt tendencies. And so your life will mar the possibilities of others. And so because God sees that, he will not do it. That's why the Bible speaking in Luke chapter 16 verse 10 and 12. He said, if you are not faithful in another man's business, he said, who will give you your own? That's God asking, who will give you? That means you can only receive your own if you are faithful in another man's. And he said, if you are not faithful in little, who will give you much? So your promotion is at the mercy of your faithfulness. Your promotion is at the mercy of your loyalty. If you pray and you are not faithful, if you pray and you are not pure at heart, that prayer will be answered, but the prayer will wait for the day your heart is refined for God to release something on you. Are you seeing why you can find many people who are very intelligent but not impactful? You can find many people who are very smart, but God doesn't exalt their horn. You sit with them for 5 minutes and you are wondering, my God, some people can open the Bible and in 5 minutes, what they will share, you will say, are there teachers like this in Africa? How come you are not being blessed? How come God is not raising you to mentor a generation? It's because of the heart. The theology is good, but the heart is wrong. And so even though he's the best teacher, he cannot be the best leader. And so God will keep him at one spot. Have you not seen some people, as this message is going on now, they go online and pick one statement and do a thorough exegesis on the statement you have made, the quote from Old Testament, quote from New Testament, balance it, why this statement is wrong, why it must be this, why it must be that, why it must be that. Before you know, they have typed 3 pages on one comment. You are now asking, if you know this much, why are you in obscurity? Why is your ministry on comment box? You know so much, but your whole ministry is on comment box. Why is your ministry there? And they will never see that something is wrong with the heart. And that is what God is seeing. Intelligence correct, heart wrong. And so God is watching. And they will keep doing that comment box ministry for 50 years until they become too old to type. They will go and rest. The person they are commenting on will still be going forward. And God will be improving him. God does not endorse the error, but God sees his heart. So God is improving him. God is growing him. A point will come, God will teach him that thing he doesn't know. And he will still be making progress. Meanwhile, the man with the darkened heart will remain like a gazelle on comment box. And he's picking things and attacking and correcting and attacking. A point will come, even the laptop keys will break. And there will be no money to buy another laptop. So he will go and buy an artificial keyboard, connect a USB cord, add it on top of the laptop, and start typing. After a while, he will type, that one too will break. And there will be no money to buy another keyboard. He will now go back to the God of heaven. That's when he will start doing heart business. Heart. Because he said, I, the Lord, I judge the heart. I don't judge the brain. I can improve your brain, but I judge the heart. I judge based on the texture of the heart. And so it takes faithfulness, purity of purpose, ethics and values for God to shift a man. The next law is the law of obedience. Before God promotes you, he will find out what you did with the last commandment. If you discard the last instruction God gave you, he won't give you another one. He will wait until you keep that. Because every instruction you obey is a launching pad to the next level. God promotes us through instructions. The junctions of our destinies are the junctions of obedience. Everywhere God gives you an instruction and you violate it, you have built your house there. You will remain there for a long time. Imagine Abraham. He told him, in this shall the nations of the earth be blessed. And Abraham remained. He said, go to this land. Abraham came and discovered there was no green pasture. Went to Egypt. God waited. After a while, God returned him back to the promised land. He wasted that period of time and God remained. God told him, you must believe. If you don't believe, it can't happen. That's my nature. I can't deny myself. And he labored with this man for more than 25 years until Abraham was able to believe before God could move. If you don't do it the way God said it, God will not have the ability to move you to the next level. And so this thing we are teaching is not to come psych and motivate people. They are rigid things in the spirit. And so if you know how it works, you can be in one place on your own and begin to make progress. Make progress. When I knew how obedience mattered to God, I took time, went and started checking everything God told me. I wrote all of them. The ones I violated, I asked for it for mercy. I repented and I started doing it mechanically. And God didn't answer for a long time. After a while of consistency, I started doing it and I started noticing the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit. And the more I kept at it, the more things began to change. I now discovered the key that when God gives you an instruction, it's a door into a possibility. Spiritual doors don't appear like this one you are seeing. If God wants to open a door for you, He gives you an instruction. As you obey that instruction, you see that it becomes a door. That's how God works. Many people are looking for doors in the spirit. Oh Lord, open doors. And the moment the prophecy comes, God gives an instruction. Take that money in your account, go to an orphanage and give them. And you say, no, I can't do it. Oh Lord, open doors. Every 12 midnight, wake up and wait on me until I tell you the next day. They wake up one day. The next day. The third day, the Holy Ghost is taking them. They wake up around 7. They say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. He will have mercy, but you will remain there for a long time. If you know how God works, He says, wait on me by 12 midnight. You will stop your day by 8 p.m. Create time to rest so that you can wake up. But if you don't know how God works, you will still be busy watching movies, doing things, and then by 11:30 you want to take a nap. After a while, the instruction will die, and the energy will die with it. And then you will see somebody 15 years later doing what looked like what God showed you. And then you are wondering, these were the things God was telling me. Yes, because you didn't wake up, He chose another David. And if you want to be sure, go and ask that person. You will be shocked that the same instructions God was giving you, at the time He was giving you those instructions, those were the same instructions He gave that person. And the person was the one who kept it. So he qualified to handle the scepter. It can be as simple. Some of you are here now. God is telling you, take a management course. Just 6 months online. Take a management course. That's all. You say, oh yes, Lord. I'm not just talking fasting prayer. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You never take it. 2 years later, I say, God told me last year to take a management course. And then suddenly, your door opens. And they say, well, we have seen your experience in business. You have done this tire business for 10 years. You have done this for 20 years. But we just need a credential at least. Let's show that you can communicate what you know. Then you discover there was no credential. Experience complete. But the key was what God told you 4 years ago. And you violated it. That door, you will see it, but it will be locked. Have you missed a flight before? The plane will park and they will tell you it's airborne. The difference will be 5 minutes. You will look at your time. You want to die. People are already there waiting for you in the meeting. You will have to reschedule this flight. If there is a seat for tomorrow, if you are not careful, you want to reschedule. Even tomorrow, there's no seat. And then you are wondering, this is a plane, but it's what? Airborne. The door is locked. And the difference was 2 minutes. But they have closed counter. You will beg and beg. They'll say, no, we have sent the report to Lagos. We can't do anything again. That's how destiny works. When God gives you an instruction, it will look simple. The weight of your destiny tomorrow will rest on that simple instruction. But many don't know how men move. If you want to move fast in life, obey quickly. That's how you move. And I'm teaching you things that every one of you will be perceiving in your heart. Because all of us who are here, we didn't appear here. We have gone through a measure of process. And we must have touched these things at different levels. May God help you to know it early. So that you don't know it when it's late. And finally, what I will tell you tonight is the law of prophecy. The way prophecy works is that it comes to reveal the excellency of God. And most times, the way the excellency of God is manifested is that a simple utterance can change a hopeless situation. So that you cannot rationalize between the casual word that was spoken and the outcome that you see. That will now let you know that beyond the speaking, there's an invisible force behind the utterance. That's how prophecy works. You need to understand the law of prophecy so that you can move your life forward. And there are three ways this law operates. The first way the law of prophecy operates is that you must know the will of God concerning the matter and speak it forth. The moment you know the will of God on an issue and declare it boldly, especially under the right atmosphere, there is an energizing that comes on that word. That's why everybody who wants to live in the prophetic realm is very sensitive about atmospheres. Because atmospheres create the ingredients for energizing the word. And so if you want to operate the law of prophecy, number one, two things must be ready. The will of God must be isolated and the atmosphere must be correct. That's why many times you see prophets using minstrels and equipment. They are sensitive because there are many sounds in the spirit. They want to isolate the right one. And so that can be possible only in the right atmosphere. So you can know that God wants you in this season to prosper. But there is an atmosphere where you can pick that exact utterance and communicate it. If you can pick that utterance, it can be in your bedroom, the impact will affect the nation. It doesn't need to be loud. It doesn't need to be aggressive. Just pick it under the right atmosphere and see the majesty of God at work. The first law of dominion, of impact, of acceleration under prophecy is the discerning of atmospheres and the will of God and functioning under them. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1. We saw a terrible situation. Famine was so bad, women were eating their children. Now, for those of you who understand a thing or two about the love that exists among humans, you will know that the purest form of love is not between husband and wife. The purest form of love is between a mother and a child. If you have studied love among men, that's the purest. There's no love that beats the love between a mother and a child. That's the only love you cannot hear of a divorce. In fact, a mother glories in herself that she endures the rebellion of her children. In fact, children even know. I didn't say the love between a child and a mother. I said the love between a mother and a child. Children know that their mothers love them unconditionally. In fact, in Africa, we said, even if a child is as ugly as a baboon, as far as the mother is concerned, that child is a prince. And she's not trying to flatter the boy. That's how her heart pants for her child. When women start giving birth, their affections begin to move from their husband to their children. In fact, when they become older, they become stronger. The joy of a grandmother is to carry her grandson, let the son mess her up. She will be so excited cleaning the baby up and thinking that he has entered her joy. But you see, there was a nation where women were eating their children. That was the situation. So bad. But a man knew the mind of God. They ran to Elisha. Even the king knew that everything had failed. And because this man knew God's position, he said, by this time tomorrow, a cup of barley will be sold for one shekel. And the prime minister said, wait. I know one or two things about God. The problem is that he didn't know the excellency of prophecy. He said, even if the window of heaven were to open, nothing will happen. This is a national economic issue. And the man is saying, God does not know national from local. When he talks as a king. By this time tomorrow, because you have argued it, you will see it, but you won't partake. And it looked like a joke. and in 24 hours. When God wanted to show his majesty, he didn't use able-bodied men. He used four lepers. And suddenly, lepers woke up and started asking themselves questions. Why sit we here until we die? You know, sometimes when God wants to help you, somebody will be somewhere in UK and say, why have I not gone to Nigeria for the past 15 years? It has nothing to do with coming to Nigeria. God has remembered you. And he will want to die. He wants to sleep. He can't sleep. He is just troubled. I must go to Nigeria. And then as he enters Nigeria, the car he carries will spoil in front of your shop. And all you need to do is to give him a bottle of cold water. Just one bottle. And he will say, ah, what are you doing? You say, I'm selling tires. He say, ah, I'm into auto, and I do vehicles and spare parts. And I'm thinking of importing vehicles to Nigeria. Can we partner? I've seen that you are a good person. Because of one bottle of water. It's because of you that he couldn't sleep. Even the car didn't spoil. An angel held it. An angel stood there and held the car. After he finishes negotiating with you, they will own the car to start. Even he won't know why. And then he will come to Nigeria and discover he needs to go back. He will spend 2 days and go back. The flight fare, the inconveniences, everything is because your story is about to turn around. And so when God wanted to remember a nation, he used lepers. And they say, why sit we here until we die? You know what happened? They say, we will go to the camp of the enemies. If they kill us, they kill us. If they don't kill us, we'll have something to eat. And when four lepers who didn't have legs, because the legs had eaten up, started walking. When they touched their leg on the ground, the enemies will hear the sound of chariots. As four people were walking, what the enemies were hearing is an army galloping towards them. They were hearing the sound of 1,000 horses, and they ran away because of the fear. What happened to the legs of the lepers? Their feet became like trumpets. Everywhere they marched, the feet of one man is like 1,000 army. And the enemy, they were afraid, they ran. And lepers came and took the spoil. When they were done feeding themselves, they now said, wait, it will be unjust for us to eat and go. Let's invite the city. So the salvation of a city came from lepers. Lepers that are rejected, that cannot participate in human interaction, became the salvation. Because the prophet said, by this time tomorrow, you can be in the worst situation. The moment the mind of God is isolated under the right atmosphere. Listen, sometimes you don't even need God to send you a prophet. As you are in your room, you are worshiping. You are worshiping. You are worshiping. And the song will not end. As you are just worshiping, suddenly you just realize that the captivity is over. And under that atmosphere, you lift your voice and speak. See, the reason many people don't move is that they don't know how it works. They are praying, they are worshiping. Everywhere is charged, and God shows them a picture of their destiny. Instead of declaring, they now start crying. They will weep and weep and weep and weep, and the atmosphere will go, and nothing will happen. All they enjoyed was the atmosphere. They will come again. The Holy Ghost will inspire a song. They will carry that song. They are washing clothes. They are singing it. They sing that song until the energy builds up to a crescendo. And they burst into tongues. They start praying. God shows them that picture again. Instead of betting it, they start crying. They weep and weep and weep. And when they feel good, they will now stop. Their life will remain. But a man who knows how the prophetic works, when God is stirring that song, and you are singing it, you are singing it, suddenly, you see yourself on eagle's wings. Ha ha! Barakabata. Or you are singing that song. Suddenly, you see yourself in the company and you are the one who is marking out buildings. That's the time to talk. The time to talk is not when they are gossiping somebody. The time to talk is when the will of God is isolated and the atmosphere is correct. And then you wake up, you say, I'm buying one third of Enugu. I possess the largest estate in Africa. As you are talking, I create a housing system for thousands of people. As you are talking, what you are doing at that time, you are not talking, you are creating. There was a day I laid down, I was praying, and suddenly I saw an eagle, bigger than a building. It opens its wings, it moves into one state. Opens its wing, enters another state. And as I was there, somehow my eyes zoomed in and I saw myself hanging on the wings. Ah, I knew what to do. I woke up immediately. I say, I'm going from nation to nation. I'm plotting the banner of the kingdom. I am taking over. My time has come. I'm a ruler. I'm a monarch. The world will hear me. I will preach Christ from east to coast, from west. I was talking. I didn't stop. When I exhausted my syllables, I went and opened some verses of scripture and started prophesying it. Because sometimes what you know is not enough. That's when you carry verses of scripture. You don't have to remember it. Read it out at that time. As you are reading it, I am the head, not the tail. I am the beginning. I am at the end. I walk with Jesus. As you are talking, the energy will be resting on it. The energy will be resting on it. And suddenly, the forces begins to gather for you. Because that's how prophecy works. When you pick the mind of God and the atmosphere is right, even if you feel like crying, don't cry. Talk. Talk. That's the time to talk. You see yourself, you are in the midst of white people, you are in the midst of presidents, and you start crying, you don't cry. The embargo in this family is over. We have risen. We have overcome. We have come into the realms of kings. We are ordained for rulership. This is our time. The time is now. We decree, we prophesy, we proclaim, and you will see there will be a drastic turnaround. Is the law of prophecy. Sometimes you are in a service like this and teachings are just going on, and pia, you see a trance and you find yourself in a place and you look around you. You now keep quiet. You are civilized. You are finished. You lost a window. You are in a service and suddenly God shows you. You see yourself with a mantle. You lift the thunder, strike the territory. Aya, leave that service alone. Your service is over. Bend down under your seat. Aleko pekakatoria. Arakano barakatakuda. Azuda. The next prophet to the nation has come. I walk by the lightnings of God. I walk by the fire of the Spirit. I walk by the thunder and the thunderings of God. And you are moving yourself forward. See, the person sitting by your side will look at him and say, all this religious fanatic. Ignore that person. You are in different realms. You are in different worlds. That person is still in the auditorium. You have left the auditorium. You have entered your reality. So don't blame him. When he catches his word, he can go for you. Oh, yeah. Did you not read about Abraham? The Bible said when he caught it, it said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. Abraham, his wife was still barren. Abraham was still impotent. The people were laughing at him. They thought he was a fool, but he had seen it. He had seen it. And so he was going from everywhere. I'm not an assumed father. I'm the father of kings. I'm the father of princes. I'm the father of prophets. My wife is the mother of kings. And people are looking at him. They say, this guy has gone mad. He knows the secret. When you catch it, you begin to declare. That's when you become the prophet over your life. You can prophesy your destiny from your bedroom. You can prophesy your destiny from the market. You can prophesy your destiny from a service. If the ushers will not let you leave the service, enter a bathroom, go into the toilet, and incubate on what you have caught. Baka, topa, rakapata, bazakatoso. You have caught it. And you know in the spirit, nothing is given. They are taking. The word is katalambano. You take it. It will be passing if you can't take it. Did you not see Adam? Adam woke up and the Bible said God paraded Eve. God did not bring Eve to Adam. God paraded Eve. The moment Adam saw her and sensed the atmosphere, he said, this is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Eve because she was taken out of a man. You have to call your blessings by name. Many persons, their breakthroughs passed, their victories passed, their dominions passed, they were weeping. That's for children. When we mature, we are searching in the spirit. When you weep, it's a biological reaction. It takes you nowhere. What you are doing, you are searching. You are searching. When you catch it, let it remain here until it manifests. It's a law of prophecy. The second way to activate the law of prophecy is to speak as commanded. Sometimes God wants to change the dry bones. He will show you the dry bones, then he will tell you what to say. In Ezekiel 37, verse 7 and verse 9, it said God took him to a valley of dry bones, and God asked him, mortal man, can these bones live? He said, only thou knowest. And God began to tell him, and he said, I prophesied as I was commanded. When God tells you to talk, don't say it's too big. I know you can't pay your house rent, but God is saying you will provide houses for 1,000 people. I know you have not traveled anywhere in your life, but God is telling you, you will go from nation to nation, from city to city. Don't be intimidated by your past experience. Bet your future. The moment God speaks, vocalize it. God will wait for you to say it in consonance for it to happen. You know what the devil does? He magnifies our experiences. So that when God speaks, we allow our experiences to overwhelm God speaking. You will move nowhere. I know the cancer is still there. It's still big. But God told you. He said, when you are 80, I will send you to a nation. And then you tell yourself, I am strong and healthy at 80. I'm visiting the nations of the world. And that's what he said. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. And see how your life will change. You know the problem with men? We talk when we should be quiet, and we are quiet when we should talk. Some people have built a false impression. So when God is shaping their future, they can't say it. Because you come to church, you act like a queen. And so now God is telling you, jump up, lie on the altar. And you are checking, lie on the altar. People know me as a serene, classy person. How can I do this? Your window is about to pass. But you know what the wise do? Even before the ushers know what is happening, pew! You have entered that ring. You have entered that window. I'm not saying become disorderly in church. I'm telling God is the God of order. He's the one showing it. He's the one commanding it. When you do it, it will be part of the service. Sometimes as you activate it, then you will discover the same thing is happening with 10 people and the atmosphere will erupt. There are times when you are in a service, as God is speaking, you will just hear a trumpet in your spirit and the Holy Ghost will tell you, join the chariot. Shout now, shout now, shout now. The angels are waiting. Give the command and you are quiet. But those who know how these things work, the moment they hear it, and Jericho goes down. People will look at you and think you are foolish. No, you are in the spirit. Hey, I prophesy over you. Your life has changed from tonight. The secret you need for your acceleration, you receive it tonight. The power for your authority, receive it tonight. The power for your victory, receive it tonight. The power for impact, receive it tonight. In the name of Jesus. How do you think men who operate powerfully operate? Sometimes it's a second. Sometimes a nanosecond. The service you prayed for 7 hours to come, you can be in that service, you are talking for 1 hour, 30 minutes. The heavens are still congealed. And then while you are talking, something passes like light. And you hear that there's somebody by the right there. There's a growth on your breast, it has gone. That's the key. The moment you say it and the person shouts, I am healed, bam, the hall erupts. You will notice church moves to another dispensation. And you are wondering, this man is powerful. He's not powerful, he's sensitive. He knows things and he knows how they work. Sometimes you are preaching and preaching and then you start hearing a song. It's not even a song that the church knows. It's an ancient song. You stop the keyboardist. Thank you for what you are doing. Now let's follow the Holy Ghost. And you start singing that song. And as you are singing it, the waters begin to bubble. And before you know what is happening, everywhere erupts. And you say, what is going on? The prophetic has been activated. Lift your hands to whatever. Ah,
Are happening here now. Two things. Please hear me. The Lord is releasing a special grace, an unction for speed. Some of you have been in one spot for too long. The Bible said they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appeared before the Lord. There is a grace for strength and speed that is coming here now. Please lift your hands. Don't be distracted. Ushers, please help me now. The hand of God will come upon them as it was on Elijah. And there will be a transition in the spirit. Everywhere you are standing, every hand lifted by the spirit, take that grace. Ushers, please help them. Ushers, help them. Upon some of you now, everything that was dead in your life, the Lord is resurrecting now. Every grace, every unction, every dimension, there is an awakening in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, the power of resurrection that awakens, I command everything dead that is of God, come forth. Ah,
blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.